Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. You have found the Living a Naturally Healthy Life with Delaine MD podcast. For those of you who are new, my name is Dr. Delaine Vaughn. I am a certified life and weight coach as well as a primary care physician. What I do is I help type 2 diabetics naturally reverse their type 2 diabetes through sustainable lifestyle modifications. That means you make the changes, you eat the way you're supposed to, and you learn how to like it. It's the best part. You come off of your medications, you live a naturally healthy life, and you don't have to be burdened with diabetes anymore. Why I do this is because I think that everybody should have the opportunity to live a naturally healthy life. And I just want people to know that this is an opportunity. Unfortunately, healthcare in America preaches that type 2 diabetes is a chronic progressive disease, and frequently people believe that no matter what they do, they can't change it, and that's just not the case. So I'm here to help you do that, and that's what this podcast is dedicated to. Today, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the anxiety that's surrounding eating for most Americans. And what I mean by that is the feelings and thoughts of anxiety that most of us get wrapped up in when we're eating. So where do we see this? We see this in timing of our meals, not just in the workplace. So I was an emergency room nurse for years before I went on to medical school. And I will tell you, we saw this all the time. You were working a 12-hour shift. It was super busy. You finally got the opportunity to go and eat. And when you had that opportunity, you had to take advantage of it. You had to get down to the cafeteria. You had to get your food. You had to snarf it down. You had to get back out on the floor and finish your shift all in about 30 minutes. It was incredibly rushed, and it was very difficult to learn to enjoy your food. And of course, other places see this too. This isn't just in the medical field that we snarf down our food. Every lunch, most people find that they're on a time crunch and they've got to get that food eaten as quickly as possible. The other time that we see this is maybe we're having a rough day. And for those of us who have looked and had more awareness of our food, we realize that we try to meet our rough day with food. I know that it's time to eat, and maybe I have no intention of meeting my rough day with M&Ms, but that doesn't mean that the anxiety that's built in the day leading up to lunch doesn't push me to want to eat my meal as quickly as possible, right? Still associated with anxiety. We see this at the dinner table in America also. Our kids come home from school, they have homework, they have practice, they might need to practice a band instrument before they go to bed. We've got all of this stuff to do. And in turn, we also have to snarf down dinner. So we have this timing anxiety that goes along with our meals, but also we have this thought about, am I getting it right, that produces a lot of anxiety. Is this meal good for my diabetes? Is this meal healthy for me? Is this meal healthy for my family? Is this meal what I want to eat? Is this meal going to satisfy me? Is this meal going to keep me satisfied so I don't have to experience any hunger between now and my next meal? There are all of these thoughts of anxiety that our brains get wrapped up in when we look at eating. All of this anxiety that really surrounds eating in most of our lives. Personally, I have definitely dealt with this, with the negative emotions, dealing with negative emotions. And certainly I've dealt with, is this the right thing to eat? Is it the right thing for my health goals? Is it the right thing for my weight loss goals? Is it the right thing to prevent me from redeveloping diabetes? Is it the right thing to keep me satisfied? Is it going to keep me from feeling hungry later? All of this definitely has lived in my brain for the last number of years. And then when I look at it, I realize that really all of this anxiety has lived in my brain around food for probably decades. From the time that I was a teenager trying to watch my weight so I didn't get heavy, to the time that I was working and out in the workforce and only had 30 minutes to eat, to the time that I was raising a family and we had to get our food snarfed down so we could take care of all of the evening activities that we needed to take care of. This anxiety has surrounded my food for decades, and I would expect that most of us have had some form of this anxiety surrounding our foods for decades and our meals for decades of our lives. So how this negatively impacts our health goals is that it really leads to mindless eating, unaware eating. We're so worried about all of this anxiety that's wrapped up with our eating that we no longer take the time to really be aware of what we're eating. That diminishes the enjoyment of our food. That diminishes the enjoyment of spending time with our family and our friends whom we might be eating with. That diminishes our ability to experience when we're full to a point that serves our health. So we're not so overfull that we're miserable, but that we're at that perfect amount of fullness that it actually feels good and satisfied, but not uncomfortable yet. So we don't have the enjoyment that we really want to get from our food. And what that really leads to is us going back and getting another helping. Well, I didn't really enjoy that helping of taco salad because I was so wrapped up in my brain and in my thoughts and all of these other things and this anxiety surrounding my food. I went back and I got another helping because maybe this second helping will be the helping that I truly enjoy. And when that second helping isn't the helping that you truly enjoy, maybe you go back for a third helping. Or if you don't go back for a third helping, maybe you go into the kitchen and you're like, well, I didn't really enjoy all of that food. Maybe I need to eat something else. And then you're rummaging through the pantry or the cupboards or the fridge looking for something else you'll enjoy. Or maybe it's time for dessert and you're like, well, this is going to be what I'm enjoying. But you're still, again, wrapped up with all this anxiety. Am I too full? Should I be eating this? Is this the right thing? What am I going to do next? I've got to get the kids here. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You're so wrapped up with all of these other thoughts and anxieties about what you're doing and what you need to do and what's right to do, you can't even enjoy that dessert. And a lot of times that leads back to a second helping of dessert, right? Maybe this is the one I'm going to enjoy. We continue to try to eat to find the enjoyment that should be associated with our eating because our brains are wrapped up in all of these other thoughts, these anxious thoughts, and we miss out on the enjoyment of the food and the experience. So if you find that this is your experience, you're not alone. This is certainly my experience, and this is certainly something that I've struggled with. So I've tried to find ways to try to calm this. So what are some things that you can do to try to calm this? First, there is a ton of evidence out there that those people who pray and those cultures that pray before meals tend to have more aware eating. Not only have they taken a few brief moments prior to the meal to calm themselves, but they've also taken a few brief moments to calm themselves and offer gratitude. And there's something about this gratitude practice that helps us be more aware, more happy, less anxious, okay? So prayer before meals, we know people who pray before meals tend to eat less, period, end of sentence. So that's one way. Another way is working on meditation before eating. This is something that I've actually implemented. I know that when I take the time to meditate, I do a second meditation practice midday through lunch. Please understand when I talk about meditation practices, guys, I am not meditating for 60 minutes at a time. I'm not meditating for 30 minutes at a time. I have a 10-minute meditation practice in the morning, a 10-minute meditation practice midday before lunch. And then I have a few minutes, probably 3 to 5 minute meditation practice in the evening. And they all have certain things that they address that I'm working on. But please don't think that I'm out there meditating for 4 hours a day. I do not meditate for 4 hours a day. I meditate for less than 30 minutes a day. And I break them up into three different practices. But certainly meditating before you eat, calming your mind, getting out of that anxious space and approaching your meal from a different space, from a calm space, definitely helps people to be more aware while they eat and less anxious while they eat and eat less. So active awareness is really what this can be, right?
Approaching your meals with active awareness also can help you really slow and become aware of what you're eating. So what does this mean? This means really looking and visualizing your food, looking at the colors, how vibrant are they, looking at the textures, becoming aware of the aromas, using all of your senses to eat, not just gobbling it down with your taste buds, right? All of this leads to more awareness and lessens that anxiety around eating. And then there are things that you can do to actively calm your eating. So sometimes that looks like placing your fork down between each bite. Sometimes that looks like taking a drink of water or a drink of whatever you're drinking between each bite. And this drink business actually does a couple things that are really important that I want to point out. One, it cleanses your palate. So most of us don't realize that we spend the first 1 to 2 bites of our food really, really enjoying the taste. That's where we get the most taste impact of our food. After that, every bite after that is just chasing the biochemistry that goes along with tasting your food. So every bite after the first 1 to 2 bites is chasing the intensity of those initial 1 to 2 bites. Okay. And that's just how the physiology of our taste buds work. So when we take that drink between bites, it allows us to cleanse our palate, to kind of regenerate those taste buds, reactivate those taste buds so that we can enjoy the next bite a little bit more. It's still not going to be as great as the first 1 to 2 bites, but it will definitely help you enjoy the remaining bites that you have more than you would if you weren't taking those drinks between each bite. So that's one part I want to point out. The second part, of course, there is the timing. It takes time to put the fork down, take a drink, and space out your bites to a point that you really become aware. And then the third part is, of course, when you're drinking, you're getting more full because you're having water in your tummy, not just the food. So you fill up on more than just the food. You fill up also on water, and hydrating yourself is always the right answer, right? So taking a drink between each bite has a lot of benefits to slowing and really becoming calm during your eating and being actively aware during your eating. And then recognize all of this, whether you're using prayer before your meals and that's a new thing for you, whether you're meditating before your meals and that's new to you, whether you're using techniques such as active awareness where you're visualizing and really trying to use all of your senses to enjoy your food, or whether you're using active calming techniques like putting your fork down between each bite, getting a drink between each bite, taking a deep breath between each bite. All of these take practice to implement. You're going to have to do this over and over and remind yourself to do this over and over because you've spent decades doing it the old anxious way. So being patient with yourself and allowing yourself the time to practice these techniques is really imperative to kind of calming and learning to calm and learning to come at your meals from a calm place and not this anxious place. So the benefits that we see from this, how I see this helps me and my clients, is people tend to eat less. They tend to eat in a way that serves their health goals. They're not eating as much, so they're losing weight. They're not mindlessly eating and going back for something else, spending time in the pantry going, I wasn't satisfied with my meal, so I better find something in here. And suddenly they're downing a bag of Ritz crackers or Oreo cookies or potato chips because they're looking for something to allow them to enjoy a meal when really they just need to be more aware and present during that meal. So we don't see these blood sugar issues that we see with so many people. So it serves our health goals. We also learn to eat in ways that serve our minds, right? So we learn to be better at sticking to our word, sticking to our plan, learning to depend and rely on ourselves. We learn how to eat in a way that serves our bodies, so we're not overeating in a way that suddenly we miss the joy and enjoyment that comes with our meals. And we're overeating to a place of stuff that is not enjoyable for anybody, right? When we learn to eat in a mindful way, in an aware way, we learn to eat in a way that serves our body, and we learn to enjoy that eating so much more. And then we no longer come to eating from this primitive part of our brain. We don't let that primitive part of our brain rule the roost. We learn to eat from a place of calm awareness and enjoyment and being in control of what we eat. And all of that, of course, serves this higher, more developed prefrontal cortex of our brain. So I want you to see where this is showing up for you. Most of us experience anxiety around food. We struggle with this, especially if we've been trying to make healthy dietary choices for many years, we definitely get wrapped up in, is this right? Is this wrong? Am I going to be satisfied? Am I not going to be satisfied? Is this going to serve my health? Is this not going to serve my health? There's definitely anxiety for most Americans associated with eating. I want you to see where that's showing up. Second, I want you to see what you're missing out on in your meals by coming at the meal from such a place of anxiety, from these anxious thoughts. Realize that this is totally okay. This is normal. This is expected for the human mind to approach things in this way. One, you've been doing it for decades. And two, the primitive part of our human body just goes from this place. It's always this fight or flight, this life or death scenario. And so our brain is definitely keyed up and ready to approach our food in this way. And then I do want you to look at the thought model in this. If you're not sure what I mean by the thought model, check out episode number 12. I talk about the thought model more there. But the circumstance is eating. Your thoughts are something like, I might do this wrong. I might not be happy. I might not be satisfied. This could be the wrong food. This could make me fat. This could make my blood sugar too high. This could not serve me. All of these thoughts go into this. These are the anxious thoughts, right? They lead to a feeling of anxious. And then your action is to keep doing something different to make it right. You're anxious, you're getting it wrong, so you're trying to do something different to make it right. Your result is that you overeat, that you eat to a point that you're stuffed, that you definitely do eat something wrong, either to serve this idea that you might not be satisfied. So, of course, what's going to satisfy you is a bag of chips or Oreos or ice cream or whatever that might look like. So your result is that you totally do get it wrong, that you don't serve your health. So see where that's coming up, this thought of concern, of anxiety that leads to anxiety about your eating and how it totally is going to fulfill coming at your food from that anxious place. We will fulfill the thought that you're doing it wrong because you're going to try to do it right and you're going to get it wrong in trying to do it right. Recognize that something that's more serving is a thought of, I am calmly eating from this place and I know that I can't get it wrong, right? No matter what, you aren't going to starve to death tomorrow. Nobody's going to die from not eating anything except what's right in front of them. And I'm going to enjoy it more if I'm aware and I have my eye on it and I have my thoughts and all of my brain focused on the enjoyment of this food versus being so worried about something going wrong. So again, I want you to recognize that all of this is normal, nothing has went wrong, but realizing that to achieve your health goals, you're going to have to approach this in a different way. So that's the third step, really, is you start to look for other ways that you can approach this. You start maybe implementing some of the techniques, the prayer, the meditation, the placing your fork down, the taking a drink between bites, all of these things to see if you don't get different results and can't calm yourself so you're not coming at your meal from this anxious place. And see how that works for you. I want you to try it out. This is certainly what I help my clients do. This is what we do in coaching. We look at these techniques. We try them out. We come at them from a different place. We start try something new. We see where we're maybe X approach didn't work right. So let's try Y approach and see how that goes. That's where coaching is so important. That's where coaching is so beneficial to my clients learning how to reverse their type 2 diabetes and live that naturally healthy life that we all want to be living. So if that's something you're interested in, send me an email. Send it to delaine@delainemd.com. Let's set up a time for a consult. Don't worry if you don't live in the same state or time zone or area code as I do. We can do this all on online platforms where we can see each other. We can still have a really meaningful coaching experience, and you can get to lead that naturally healthy life. So I hope you find this helpful. I hope you have a fabulous week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.